Our Father and our God, once again, we thank you, sweet Jesus, for this beautiful, blessed day, a day that we've never witnessed before. And we thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us in the past, everything you're doing for us now we know nothing about, and everything you're going to do for us in the future. As I prepare to proclaim my word this morning, pray to God that if there is anyone here under the sound of my voice who has not been baptized into your one and only true church that you shed your blood for, pray to God they will come forth and make it right with thee before it's everlasting too late. Forgive us all for our sins. In Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. It is indeed a privilege and an honor to be able to come out this morning and worship God in spirit and in truth. For we know and we realize and respect the fact that many people that went to bed last night didn't have this grand opportunity that the great God of heaven and earth so graciously granted unto us, because they've gone on to face God, prepared or unprepared to meet him. And I'm so thankful that he decided to lengthen the brittle threads of life and cause these few golden moments to roll on, because where there's life, there's hope. And if you die and have no hope, it's going to be a sad day for you, because on Judgment Day, there will be no appeals court. Okay, it's going to be final and binding right then and there on the spot. Okay, and pray to God that everybody in here is right, because we don't know where the end is. I'm so grateful to you, Brother Gibbs, as well as the elders of this congregation for giving me this opportunity to preach this morning. There's nothing else. There's no better place to be except in the house of God, listening and participating in collective worship unto him. Let us be mindful of the Evans family, as well as other families who have lost loved ones. We know we buried a giant last week, and let's continue to send up prayers on behalf of the loss of Dr. Evans, a great man who stood four square in God's word and never wavered from the truth. And let's all continue to preach sound doctrine. You know, I asked Brother Gibbs about preaching, and he said, "Demings, are you sound?" And it's really sad that he had to do that. But because of this stuff going on in this brotherhood, okay, you have to be careful, Brother Gibbs, of who you let have your pulpit and others. So let me say this. If you walk into a congregation, they got musical instruments, get out immediately. Just like that movie Get Out, you get out too. That's right. Get out. If they don't serve communion on that Sunday, get out. If they have do anything that the New Testament does not teach us, get out immediately, because your worship is in vain. And you know what? That wasn't even part of my introduction, bro. Y'all got that for free. You guys got that one for free. Oh, yes. Anybody? Oh, I'm glad to see Brother Backus. I hadn't saw him in years, and Glass, those guys, and Don Johnson. Is he here? Don and Geraldine, are you here? And if you are, please stand. Okay, I don't see him yet. I met them up in Seattle. Oh, there he is. Yes. I met them up in Seattle a few years ago. They were happened to be worshiping at the congregation I was at, and we developed a great relationship. Brother's a great brother, great wife he has, great children, great grandchildren. But there's just one problem I discovered, Brother Gibbs. He took me into his house up on the second floor, and I walked into this room, bro, so help me God. It had nothing but ungodly people in it. And I said, "You a Christian? You hang out with these guys?" Y'all want to know who it was? Them Dallas Cowboys. All of the stuff. He had, no, really, church. He had stuff from the Cowboys that they didn't even got. All types of stuff in there. And I said, "Brother, how you going to have all this?" Like Superman walking into kryptonite and so forth. Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad to see you, Brother and Sister Johnson. And I'm glad to see all the rest of you who I've known over the years and so forth. May God continue to bless you and forever keep you in his presence is my prayer. And anybody got a red Bible out there? I forgot to get that. Anyone over here? Brother, don't you got a red Bible in your office?
Yeah, here's a red.
Oh, okay. Brother Gibbs got it. I wasn't talking about the color red, brother. I'm talking about red. One that you open up and read. That's what I was looking for. A red Bible. I won't be long this morning. I know that we have a lot of activities to get involved with today. Southwestern's having some things that I plan to go and attend over there. But you can't tell me, brothers and sisters, friends and visitors, that God don't sometimes give you blessings you don't deserve. I got a beautiful 30-some-odd-year-old wife and a 22-month-old baby. Honey, will you stand, please? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who have your copies of the New Testament, turn with me for a brief moment, and let's take a look at John, the 20th chapter. I wait for you at verse number 11. As the preacher said this morning, he looked over and saw the thing here on the wall here, and this had to be the Holy Spirit, Brother Gibbs, because I asked my wife doesn't like clutter in the house, and I had some stuff on the side of my bed for 4 or 5 months too long. So one day I came in and it was gone, and I thought I'd put my sermon in there because I was going to preach on something totally different. And I went through the boxes and some other stuff. She said, you can't find, just preach something else, which was the right thing to do. So I took a look at this here, and it goes right along almost with John, the 20th chapter, except for you guys at verse 30. And I decided to go from 11 to 15. And the other brother preached something similar to that this morning because I was going to do something totally different. But God is working, and God is real, and God is alive. Say amen if you can. Amen. Yes, indeed. John, the 20th chapter, verses 11 through 15, and we'll see what thought can be extracted from this passage of Scripture. John 20, beginning of verse 11, the Bible says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take away his body. We will reread verse number 13 for emphasis. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord. For those of you who would like a sermon title this morning, the thought that I have extracted from this passage of Scripture is, because they have taken away my Lord. Because they have taken away my Lord. Why is it that we have one of the worst presidents in D.C. right now? Because they have taken away my Lord. Why is it that homosexuality is on the rise and spread throughout America with same-sex marriage? Because they have taken away my Lord. Why is it that they took prayer out of school? Because they have taken away my Lord. Why is it that you can't get men to stand firm on God's word? Because they have taken away my Lord. Why is it that abortion is almost legal in certain areas and so forth? Because they have taken away my Lord. Why is it that certain men have egos, E-G-O, ease God out? Because they have taken away my Lord. And when you extract God from anything that you're trying to do, forget about it turning out right. It's a crashing airplane going straight down to the ground because they have taken away my Lord. Sisters, I'm going to give you some shouting points this morning, because now that I've been married almost 3 years, I have discovered some things. Sisters, you guys are important in the Lord's church. Don't think just because you ain't up here doing communion, preaching, leading prayer, and so forth, that you're not important. You truly, truly, truly are. Sister Gibbs, your husband wouldn't be half the man as he is if it wasn't for you. Amen. Just a few minutes ago before I took this pulpit, I didn't know what a microphone was, neither did Brother Gibbs. Sister Gibbs, honey, you left it on the end. See that? Little small things that us men sometimes take for granted, okay? You sisters fill us in. Why is it that folk won't stand firm and step up to the plate? Because they have taken away my Lord. How do you expect to succeed removing God out of the plan? Just a few moments. Matter of fact, who's a reader this morning? We're going to do some reading this morning. John, the 6th chapter. Those of you who've got your New Testament, turn with me. Let's go back to John, the 6th. Let's take a look at a couple things here. John 6. John 6, waiting at verse 4. Do we ever read this morning? If not, I sure enough will read. Okay? Nah, brother, relax. You do it every Sunday. Every Sunday, Brother Gibbs. We got to get some other brother step up to the plate. Help the preacher out. John 6, come on with it, bro. If you don't have no microphone, come on. John 6, verse 4, let's go. John 6, let's go. Let's go. And the Passover. The Feast of the Jews. When
Jesus then laid up his eyes.
Now Jesus observed something about to happen. Keep going.
He saw a great crowd coming.
Read.
He said to Philip. When shall we buy bread?
Where are we going to go eat some bread?
That these may eat. And this he said to prove him. He knew what he was going to do already,
but he asked Philip a question. Read.
Philip answered him.
Come on.
200 penny worth
and enough bread. You know, you got 2 pieces of bread, and all these folk here in Greenville Avenue, you're going to fill them all. No. That's not enough people. Keep going. Read.
It's not sufficient for them. That every one may take a little.
One of his disciples.
Andrew.
Simon Peter's brother.
Said unto him.
There's a child here,
five barley
loaves,
and 2 small fishes.
What are they among so many?
And Jesus said,
make the men sit down. Stop right there. As he started in verse 4, he asked Philip, Andrew's there, the rest of the disciples there, a little boy's there with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Nothing but men right there.
God is good.
Nothing but men right there ready to eat and fill their bellies. Nothing but men right there ready to eat, ready to fill their bellies. Read.
Make the folks sit down. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down. And 5,000 people sat down to eat.
It could have been women there, but the Bible specifically talks about men right there. Now, when we go back up here to John, the 20th chapter, we see that Mary was standing at the tomb of Jesus. A few days prior, God had just fed 5,000 people. The men was there. Where they at now? Oh, the sisters was there. Mary was there. Wait a minute. Oh, they done got fools sitting back watching New England kill them Cowboys. That's where they was at. Oh, yeah. That's where they was at. They was getting full. Fish and bread keep a poor man fed. But then it was time to stand up there. You can't be found. That ain't right, brothers. That's not right. Only Mary was there concerned about the body of Jesus. And he had 12 disciples. So sad. Go to John. Let's take a look at John, the 19th chapter. I patiently wait for you at verse 25. John, the 19th chapter, verse 25. Let's take a look at that.
Now there stood.
Oh, I like that. Yes, sir.
By the cross of Jesus.
Now we're at the cross of Jesus.
His mother. And his mother's sister.
His mother's sister.
Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And Mary Magdalene.
Four women. Hold it right there. Four women at the cross of Jesus. Where are the men?
You know, I'm getting sick of this thing. Where the men? Where the men? Somebody says sisters want a real man, but wear fake eyelashes, fake nails, but want a real man. You got to be real all the way across the board if you want realness in your life. Where the men? Mary, the Cleophas, read it again. John 19, 25. Come
now,
on, bro.
Now there stood by the cross of Jesus.
Now there stood by the cross.
His mother.
And his mama's going to be there for a baby. Care what you do. Now Jesus had done nothing. He was pure and innocent of anything. Okay, where's Jesus' daddy at? Did he have a father? Where was he at? Only the four women was there. Read.
And his mother's sister.
Mother's sister, aunt, Jesus' aunt, read.
Mary, the wife of Cleophas.
My wife of Cleophas, read.
And Mary Magdalene,
read.
When Jesus therefore saw his mother.
When Jesus looked down from that cross and saw his mama.
And the disciples standing by.
And who?
And the disciples standing by.
The disciple. You mean to tell me Jesus had 12 disciples, Brother Gibbs? Only one showed up. Peter said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Where you at, Peter? Where you at? Jesus only had one there, John. Brother Gibbs, isn't it a shame you're going to depend on one person sometimes?
Amen.
Get it done, just one. And you don't train thousands, but only one. One.
Amen.
Only one. We all want to go to heaven. The work is now, but only one at the foot of the cross of Jesus. Come on, brothers, you got to step up. Now, I know y'all here at Greenville Avenue, because if a person is a member of the Church of Christ and don't know nothing about Greenville Avenue, something's wrong. Something is really wrong. I'm just going to be real. But first thing, when Don Johnson and them got to Seattle and said they was a member of Greenville Avenue, I said, that's C.W. Gibbs. Oh, yes, 2,800 miles away. Because Greenville does stuff in this brotherhood.
Amen.
And that's great, and it's awesome. And we got to take that and run with it throughout this brotherhood. So that we can put out this false doctrine and this crazy stuff that's going on in this brotherhood. But it takes us brothers to get up, stand up, straighten up, and live right, and teach right, and stand right. That's what it takes. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it don't matter who it is, whoever you are. You teach false doctrine, you got to have brothers to stand up and put it out. You're not responsible for this whole area, Brother Gibbs. I want that one to seek in. Because what's going on, I'm trying not to call no names, but in Georgia, every brother throughout the brotherhood sort of surrounded that mess and stomped it out.
Amen.
Immediately. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Right.
1 Corinthians 1:10. Don't go there, but I'll quote it. We all got to speak the same thing, that there be no division among us. I mean, and it won't happen unless we take a firm stand, brothers. How can we be the head of our house and won't lead right? Who all been to Seattle besides Brother Johnson out here? You get on the plane, you take off out of DFW. The runways go north and south out of there. You take off to the south on runway 17 to 18, and the plane keep going 30 minutes and don't make a turn. When you think something's wrong? You need to make a right turn and go north. You wouldn't want to be on that flight. Well, if you in a congregation or if you believe anything other than what the New Testament teaches, you're on the wrong flight. And let me say this so I can sleep good tonight, because my flight leaves at 7:40 tonight, so I got a long time to preach. Yeah. If you are involved in all that ungodly stuff that these people are trying to create in the Church of Christ now, get out and get away from it.
Amen.
Okay? Because if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the set up here teach you stuff that's ungodly and unrighteous? And I want to sleep good tonight. And that's why I'm telling like the way it is. And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you're a member of the Baptist Church, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witness, Nation of Islam, you're not in the right church.
Amen.
Heaven will not be your home. I found a different way to say it, Brother Gibbs, than the way I used to say it. Because, you know, I don't want to offend nobody, but I got to tell it like the way THI is. Because I definitely want to go to heaven. Burning in hell 10 million years is just like the first day. And the problem is, Brother Gibbs, some folk done took air conditioners and put up there. Yeah. Amen. And that's crazy. And that's crazy. Back to the Bible. Read, bro. When Jesus saw his mother.
And the disciple standing by,
and
whom
the disciple
he loved,
standing by, there was John. He said unto his mother,
Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple.
Then said Jesus to the disciple,
Behold thy mother.
Behold my mama.
And from that hour.
1 second. You in a situation where your mama needs some help, have a trustworthy person. Have a trustworthy person that you can depend upon, okay? You see, Jesus said, John, my mama, and what happened? Read.
And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home.
From that moment, John took the mother, took Jesus' mother with him to his own home. Yeah, all right. Own home. All right. Brothers, have something to take someone to if they need help. Okay? Amen. Have somewhere to take somebody to when they need help. Amen. Your own home. Amen. That's very important. Have something that's yours. Work hard each and every day so that you can have something to provide for somebody else. Now let's go on into John, the 20th chapter, and I'll be where you want me to be soon. John, the 20th chapter, let's take a look at verse 1. Read.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene.
Wait. Sunday morning. What does your version say? Read that again slowly.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene
Read.
Early.
Read.
When it was yet dark.
Now, wait a minute. Mary done got up early in the morning on a Sunday morning. Mary. Now, you done crucified somebody who I love dearly. The stone had been rolled away. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who I'd been with, who trained me off for almost 3 years, was in the stone. And you mean to tell me Mary was the first one on a Sunday morning? Where was the men? They sleeping in? They sleeping in again? They still didn't learn from a moment ago what I just said? They sleeping in again. Mary! I guess Mary read Proverbs, the 31st chapter. A woman that get up early in the morning and gives a portion of meat to her household. Mary was up. Mary was up. And not only was she up, she did what?
And seeketh the stone taken away.
She looked for the stone where Jesus had been laid. Mary. Mary, Mary. No men, no men. When I first walked into Greenfield this morning, guess who I saw at the front door way out there? It was a sister. I saw a brother after that, okay? But the sister was there. The sister was there first. But Mary was at the grave of Jesus first. First, early in the morning on Sunday morning. Where was the men? Let that sink in. Where was the man? Read.
Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter.
Now, early in the morning, Mary at the grave of Jesus, she didn't take off walking. Mary ran. When you do stuff for the Lord, brothers and sisters, put some pep in your step. Move. Brother Gibbs, you go to DFW and get on the plane and start taking off and just going slow like this, would you think the plane going to get airborne? You need some power. You need some thrust. Right. You need some airspeed. Right. Mary took off running. Mm-hmm. She took off running and did what? Read.
And to the other disciples.
She went to the other disciples. Now, Mary by herself in the middle, early in the morning while it's dark, going to find Peter and John. That's sad. Mary doing this. Sisters, my wife wake me up to get up. Every Sunday morning, so we could be at Sunday school all the time. Because she up already, okay? She up, and she worked a full-time job, and she got my offspring to take care of also. I pitch in somewhat, but it's just her mostly. And I'm telling like the way THI is, brothers. I got to step up too. This ain't just for y'all, it's for me too. Yes, indeed. Early Sunday morning, Mary went to the grave of Jesus, then did what?
Whom Jesus loved.
Okay.
And saith unto them. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre.
There she go. They have taken away my Lord out of the sepulchre. Then what?
And we know not where they have laid him.
Don't know where his body is. But God, but when they was there getting fed, John 6, they cared about eating. Now they got full and don't know where the body is. Read.
Peter therefore went forth.
Peter. Finally we get to a man. Peter. Read.
That other disciples, read. And came to that sepulcher. So they ran both together. And the other disciples did outrun Peter.
Now, Peter was with Jesus, as we all quite well know. Preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. How are you going to let somebody else beat him? Ain't no way in the world, Brother Gibbs. Ain't no way in the world. They thought I was a Concord. I would have booked. Well, see, if it had been me, Brother Gibbs, I'm just going to be honest with you. I preached in Jerusalem almost 3 years ago on Easter Sunday. And I went inside and saw all that stuff that the New Testament talks about, the stone that was rolled away and so forth. Brother Gibbs, if it had been me, you know what I'd have done? That night when they sealed the tomb, I'd have got right next to the stone. I'd have told a trustworthy brother, Don, where you at? Don Johnson. Tell my wife, okay, at 11:30 Saturday night, come wake me up at this tomb, okay? Don't let me sleep past 11:30. Because I'm going to be up to see this. This is what I would have done. Now, I just fastened myself to it, Brother Gibbs, and I wouldn't have moved. But the Holy Spirit, more than likely, God would have sent an angel to put a deep sleep over me and just politely move me out the way so the scriptures could be fulfilled. Okay, that's probably what would have happened with me. Because I would have stayed. I would have saw this with my own eyes. Okay, if it had been me, that's just me and myself because I love the Lord, especially how good he's been to me. You know, taking this nothing and making something out of it. Oh, yeah. I love what God has done for me and my family, definitely. Keep reading.
So they ran both together. And the other disciples did outrun Peter.
Yeah, I ran Peter, read.
And came first to the sepulcher.
Then he stooped down.
And looking in.
He looked in.
Saw the linen clothes lying.
He saw the stuff that they buried Jesus in lying. Read.
Yet he not in.
He not in.
Then cometh Simon Peter following him. And went into the sepulcher. And seeth the linen clothes lie.
Now Peter looked in there and saw him lying. Then what happened?
And the napkin. That was about his head.
Uh-huh.
Not lying with the clothes. But wrapped together in a place by itself.
Now, Jesus took the time to fold up his clothes. Left some over here and some over there. Folded. Nice and neat. Brothers, fold the clothes up in your house. When your wife washes them, be nice enough to fold them up and help and put them up decently where they go. Amen. Don't do like I used to do, okay? Okay, fold them up and put them there. Now, this was grave stuff that wasn't going to be worn by Jesus no more, okay? It was folded up nice. What does that tell you should do? What does it tell you? Then you want to, Brother Gibbs, I want to worry about what my socks is then. I know where they at. I know which ones I'm going to wear with what suit. Because I took the time to fold them up. Even though the Seahawks was whooping Dallas and so forth, I still took the time, turned off the TV to put them up. And God bless my Lakers and so forth. Whoop the Mavericks left and right. I know I'm going to have to get out of here in a while. Read, bro.
Then the other disciple went in. And came first to the sepulcher. And he saw and believed.
Read.
For as yet they knew not the sepulcher.
Yes.
He must rise again from the dead.
Read.
Then the disciples went away again unto their own home.
There we go. They went to their own home. They had a home. They went to their own home. Brothers, y'all gonna get y'all own homes. Oh, yeah, y'all got. See, y'all ain't like your first cousins is up there in Seattle, Washington, okay? A little bit different down here. You guys are already prepared. I ain't talking about none of y'all. I'm making sure that this is addressed to my brothers and sisters in Seattle. Brothers, have your own home. You want a family? You gotta have your own home. Your own home. Your in-laws? No. You need to have your own stuff. And God will give it to you, God will bless you. You just have to work hard for it. Get up early in the morning. Early in the morning. Show up late for a flight as a pilot twice and see what'll happen. You'll be unemployed. Definitely. Show up at Sunday school on time. Anybody remember Melvin Chappelle? Used to be the minister of Mountain View. He said once upon a time they was getting ready to go to Louisiana on a Saturday morning. The bus left at 6 o'clock. He said he waited until the last person got on the bus. and got on right, and everybody showed up that had paid too to go to Louisiana. He said, "Don't tell me all y'all can't be here at 9:30 in the morning for Sunday school. Don't tell me that all y'all here at 6 o'clock, 5:58, and y'all ready to go to Louisiana. And this ain't worship, okay? This ain't the Lord's day, okay? Every day is the Lord's day, but this wasn't the day set aside in the New Testament to worship God in spirit and truth, okay? But they was there ready for that though. Brothers, get your priorities together. Seek ye second the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? No, that's wrong. Seek ye first. Thank you, Sister Fagan. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Read, my brother.
But Mary stood without at the supper tree weeping.
Here we go.
And as Mary, she wept, she stooped down and looked into the supper tree.
Mary went and found the disciples. They went and looked inside. And here come Mary again.
And see, I
still ain't found where the other disciples was yet. Sisters, you guys are important. You guys are important in the Lord's church. Don't you ever forget that. You guys were important. You see here, Mary was the only one there concerned about the body of Jesus. She was the first one at the tomb. Read, bruh.
And see if two angels in white sitting.
And see if two angels in white sitting.
The one at the head.
One at the head.
The other at the feet.
And where at the feet.
Where the body of Jesus had lain.
Where the body of Jesus had lain.
And they say unto her.
And they said unto her.
Woman.
Woman.
Why weepest thou?
Why are you crying thou?
She said unto them.
She said unto them.
Because they have taken away my Lord.
They have taken
away. And I know not where they have laid him.
Only Mary was there concerned about the body of Jesus. Because they had taken away her Lord. And she did not know where they had laid him. And then she didn't know that it was Jesus that said, turn around. She didn't know it was him standing and so forth. But we serve a risen Savior. And if you want that risen Savior to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, I'm going to make thee rule over many. Live right so that you can die right, so that you can get up out of the grave right, and then forever go on to be with him where it is forever bright. You may be here this morning, and for some reason or not, sin has entered your life. The blood is running warm in your veins right now. Now would be the perfect time to make it right with Jesus. You may be going through things in your life that only you and God know about. God can fix anything because he's God all by himself. God can stand flat-footed and walk tippy-toed at the same time because he is God, okay? And if you need to make it right with God, start walking right now. Tell your neighbor, look, please excuse me and come on down front because you don't know where the end is. If you are a member of a church that's not, that you cannot read about in the New Testament, and there's only one that you can read about in the New Testament, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The Catholics salute you. You ought to be who? Why is it that Sister Fagan only one catching this? There's a woman again. Brothers? No, I'm serious. I'm very serious. I'm very serious. She's the only one catching it. And I didn't tell her when I was going to preach. I ain't talking to Sister Fagan. Brothers, come on. Please. Jesus, Lord have mercy. God help me today. No, I'm very serious, brothers. We got to step up. It's almost 12 o'clock. Suppose Jesus is going to come back at 12:05 and you knew that for a fact. Would you stay in that seat where you was at? Or would you walk out and make it right with God? Suppose you ain't been living right. Quit doing wrong as of today and move forward doing right. This day, the day you hear his word, harden not your heart. If there's anyone here that stands in need of the Savior's invitation, and if you're ashamed because you came down last Sunday to make it right and you're worried about what people are going to say, quiet as it's kept, they ought to be walking right behind you. And if you don't want to walk down by yourself, I'll come out and walk with you. I'm not afraid of nothing or no one except God. That's it. Anybody go to Jerusalem and preach on a Sunday morning on Easter Sunday with all them other different religions there, and the brother gives that enough sense to wait until they got done teaching that false stuff and they sat down. I said, excuse me. My name is R.C. Demings. I'm from Seattle, Washington. I'm a member of the Tuckawilla Church of Christ. Hear the true gospel right now because what you just heard was not truth. And I took off right there and so forth. preached so long I almost passed out twice in that hot heat. I sure did. But you know what, Brother Gibbs? God wasn't going to bless me to go over 7,000 miles all the way to Jerusalem. Oh, I'm sorry. You all right? You all right?
I'm all right.
Okay. No, I'm just kind of strong, and you know, I'm sorry. God wasn't going to bless me to go that far to preach and teach his word and then sit up and let something happen to me. God wasn't going to do that. Right. And then I was smart enough to tell, because, you know, they do things a little different over there. I told one guard. Do whatever you want to do. Hello. Do whatever you want to do with that. I'm sick of that. Back to train of thought. God want, brother, hello. Audio. There we go. God was not going to let something happen to me and my family. No, just me and my wife then. By the way, my daughter was conceived in Jerusalem, I believe, because she come, my brother Gibbs, ready to fight, 22 months old. And so, is this thing working? I got some juice? Okay. Back to the point. I went to Jerusalem. I preached his word on Easter Sunday. I told it just like the way it was and so forth. People sat down and heard it and said, why don't they teach that? I said, because they're not a member of the Church of Christ, which started right here. I was by. Anybody been to Jerusalem in there? Nobody been? You know where Jaffa Gate is, sister? I preach right there. That's the same spot where Jesus told the disciples, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. I stuck off right there. A lot of folks sat down. A lot of them left. And I preached Jesus and him crucified. I told the guards, I said, look, if because, you know, the Muslims and all them other stuff's over there and so forth, I said, if they act crazy and you got to shoot, okay, save my wife. Don't care about me. That's fine. But shoot, you know, do what you're going to do, and I'm going to get out the way and so forth if they're going to be crazy. Because I'm going to stand for God's word. Jesus said, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. God blessed me to fly and travel for free. You don't think I'm going to go do his will? And I can go all over and do it too? I wasn't worried about nothing, but a lot of folk thought I was crazy, but that's okay. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So you got to have faith if you're going to please God. That's what you got to have. Okay, my 30 minutes is up, Brother Gibbs. I'm trying to end it. As I said, if you don't got God was going to come back at 12:05, would you stay there a year? Or would you come forth and make it right? Like I said, if you shame, I will come to wherever you at. I will walk down the aisle with you. But if you know you're not right with God, don't leave Greenville Avenue in that state. Make it right with him, because as I said before, you don't know where the end is. I know the invitation song has been selected. If there's anybody here that has any questions about what I've taught, what I've preached, and you are not a member of the Church of Christ, ask me. ATM, ask the minister. If you give me a biblical question, I'll give you a biblical answer. Anybody have any questions? The only stupid question is the one that you don't ask. Nobody has any questions. If you are in need of the Savior's invitation, won't you stand right now? Come forth. Come walking. Come walking right now.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
My
come to Jesus.
Cry.
Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
All others thou art calling.
Thou art calling. Come here, Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Lord,
don't pass this opportunity.
Do not pass.
You don't know what it
is. By and I'm calling you, say.
Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Why don't you
don't shake a fist of rebellion in God's face.
My
you're going to need God on Judgment Day. You're going to need him on Judgment Day. All of you in the balcony, you're going to need him on Judgment Day. We got time. We'll wait.
And Lord,
don't pass
do not pass me.
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
And help me thy throne of mercy.
So as you finish this verse, pause for a moment.
And Lord,
come to Jesus.
Find a sweet
only Jesus
relief.
Can give you sweet relief. Only Jesus can give you sweet relief.
Link there in deep contrition.
Come to Jesus.
Lord, help.
Jesus can help you with your unbelief.
My
come to Jesus.
Believe, and I'm calling you.
God has been patient with you. God has been very patient. Come to Jesus.
Say, my Savior. Hear my
hear your humble
cry.
Come to Jesus.
Lord,
now's the appointed time.
All others thou art called.
Jesus is calling.
Calling, and Lord,
don't pass this by.
Not pass me by.
I'm going to tell you.